welcome to a bonus episode of The Gray Woody Show, your home for all things pipe, tobacco, pens, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Nathan Davis, joined as always by my superfluous co-host, Eugene Falco.
That's a good word.
What's up, man? Not much. Not actually descriptive of you at all, but a good word. If I didn't need you, we'd be in trouble.
Yeah. Maybe.
Because then I'd be good at something.
Yay.
So how you doing today?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think illness continues to linger in our families and households, and nothing ever slows down, so we're doing pretty great.
Yep.
But all things considered, we actually are doing pretty well. Because we're excited to be here to talk about a brand new tobacco that comes out today, unless you were in Chicago.
Yep.
There was a little pre-release, so some of you have this already. However, for everybody who could not make it to Chicago, Sutliff is celebrating their 175th anniversary this year, as we've mentioned numerous times. And for that, they brought out the first of a series of extra special tobaccos. So probably the best place to start is with, well, the name, The Old Boss. And then says Henry Sutliff under it and has a picture of him. But it's funny because the name was actually just a blend of tobacco. Although he was on it, it was not actually named for him, I guess. But now we can confuse everybody and make it look like it was. Celebrating our 175th anniversary, it was only fitting to bring back The Old Boss, presented with founder Henry Sutliff's portrait just as it was over a century ago. We dug into our vault for an old classic. Before mixture number 79, before Heinz Blend, there was The Old Boss, a Latakia Heavy English with the finest Red Virginias and Turkish Leaf, a touch of Perique for spice and Burley to round the edges. Light up and enjoy this throwback and celebrate 175 years with us. We will, remotely. We are not there with you.
No.
Sutliff at large.
Or Henry, because he's dead.
Or especially Henry.
He's been dead a long time.
Why did I put my knife away? I took it out to open this, and then somehow it's in my pocket again.
So I made the art for this.
Yes.
I was told to make something classy.
Yeah. And man, did you.
Yeah, it's pretty classy. It's got some gold leaf lettering on it, and it's really nice. A lot nicer than your knife. What the hell's going on with your knife?
I was trying to use the wrong part of it. Because I'm not the smart today.
Me neither.
Not like I haven't opened hundreds of tins with the exact knife, but today I forgot which spot I use on it. So yeah, it's really, I'd say, the classiest art that I've seen you do, because it's not really something you usually strive to do.
Nope.
Not that you're incapable. It smells really good. I got distracted. But yeah, so there's gold embossing, and it really makes parts of the label pop out and gives it almost a holographic effect to it.
Yep.
Super cool. I don't think you're going to like it because you've never been a big Latakia guy, but it smells really good.
I'll smell it.
They picked some quality ingredients for this.
That'll wake you up in the morning.
Yep. So because, oh, look at that. It's actually a crumble cake, too. Yep. Flakes, crumble flakes. Somewhere in there. So as I'm looking at this, trying to decide what pipe I'm going to bring along with me, one of Bill's shop pipes is sitting there, and he smokes nothing but heavy Latakias through his pipes. So it felt like a fitting pipe for the day. Before he closed, before he got sick, he gave me one of his shop pipes, one of his favorites. It is a K. Woody Relief Grain Prince, and it's one of the ones with the Medico gold band on it, because like me, he kept pipes because they were flawed. So I just had a split in the shank and went, oh, I don't want to throw this relief grain out. Slapped on a Medico band and kept it. So every time I went to his shop, that was the pipe that was sitting out. usually with either Baby Bottom or Dunhill 965 or some other heavy Latakia blend next to it. So I figured it was perfect for this, what I presumed was pretty heavy Latakia, and I'm now happy to report that this is certainly up there in its Latakia scent, if not actual composition.
Fascinating.
Yes. Tobacco comes apart very nicely. There is a moisture spot or two, but overall the tobacco feels about perfect smoking moisture level. So that's super exciting that it's hopefully going to stay lit well too. Yeah, this has like, it smells like Sutliff. It smells like a ton of their blends, and not that it's the same as them, but it just has that, I don't know. I don't often think about it until I smell it and go, nope, yep, that smells like particularly a Sutliff Latakia blend. So if this is based on an old recipe, I think they nailed it, because it feels very, very much like them, just in the smell.
I have a question.
Yeah.
What kind of tobacco would a wizard smoke?
What kind of tobacco would a wizard smoke? Not easy to do now because everybody's moved away from it, but I feel like it would have deer tongue in it, because that's kind of like a little herbal and mystical, but still a very traditional pipe tobacco. So without that, I would say a Red Virginia that actually has some kind of lighter topping on it. So like a hybrid aromatic, not a strong aromatic. Mm.
Okay.
What do you think?
I don't. That's why I asked.
I don't have any ideas.
I don't know.
Those are my thoughts.
I would think a wizard wouldn't smoke tobacco at all.
Well, they do in all the books and movies, though.
I think they're smoking pipe weed. Which could be Tolkien tobacco. I don't know. I never read any of those books either.
Really?
Promise you.
Wow.
I never had to. Because Tim and Mike read them all the time. Right. And that's all they talked about.
Yeah, I read them all, but it was a very private adventure. I did not tell people about it. I spent a lot of time in the woods, so I had a lot of fun when I was reading those books. We were spending a lot of time. We just bought a really nice chunk of land that eventually we intended to move to. And so I was camping there for periods. And so I was in the part where they're like traveling a lot and talking about snaring animals and all that fun stuff. So I built myself a lean-to out away from where my family would hang out and built a nice little tripod and dragged some cast iron cookware down there and was cooking everything over tripods and fires and, so for obvious reasons, I didn't tell a lot of my friends about that. I was weird enough. I didn't need to add to it.
Gotcha.
So getting through a charring light. It's a very crumbly tobacco. It is liking to go all over. It's not long strands because of the way it's cut. So it's like popping all over the place here.
That's fun.
Knowing that, I would have probably packed the bowl a little less full, but whatever. I didn't listen to my own advice. So yeah, on first light, for how strongly Latakia scented it is in the tin, it's immediately a much more balanced tobacco. It's not like, it doesn't taste like a lat bomb. I feel like I'm getting a lot more of a Virginia Burley with a smokiness behind it from the beginning. It's super nice. This, I think for some people, this could easily be an all-day smoke if it keeps tasting like this through the bowl. Gives you that the scent of the Latakia that you want without it feeling heavy.
I can't smell anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's not helping either of us with anything.
Unless currently. It's like right in front of my nose. I can't smell any smoke, so. Oh, wait. Let's see. Okay. That smell to me doesn't even smell like tobacco.
Yeah, it's unique. I feel like the tin note and the room note have almost nothing in common, which is fun.
Yeah, well, it smells good. So I believe there's just barely 3,500 of these tins made.
Yeah, it is pretty limited. You know, I wouldn't call that maybe a micro batch, but it's a pretty small batch.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there are some online. I think he has some reserved for shows. Yep. So should you miss it online, get your butt to a show, Capital Inn, June 8th especially.
Mm-hmm.
Do yourself a favor and have fun.
What you looking for?
The ashtray.
Ashtray?
Yeah.
There you go.
Some of it's burnt, some nuts.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's pretty limited. And, you know, we hinted to it's part of a series.
I believe it's a two-part series.
Yep. As far as I know, it's a two-part series, and I don't know how much has been released yet.
I believe that I just submitted the art for the second part today.
Yeah.
So, pending, you know, approval.
Yep. And, you know, that's one of the nice things about being me, is I get to see your art before it's done or mm-hmm. approved. And, while this is super classy, I think part two is really cool and yep. ties together modern and classy and old and fun.
Yeah.
Maintains the same kind of image, but mm-hmm. doesn't. It's not just the same.
Correct.
Yeah, this is a really good tobacco. 6 o'clock tonight, you guys might want to jump on this.
Yep. Because it's going to be gone.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to last very long online. Would not be shocked to find out this is one that sells out very rapidly. Again, between the art, the blend, I know there are a lot of English blends out there, but not a lot of good English blends that are using Red Virginia and Turkish together like this still. It's definitely an older style of English blend. Yep. And it does really well on the modern palate.
The modern palate.
Mm-hmm.
What does that even mean?
Tastes change.
Okay.
There are places that use entirely historical recipes, and they don't always do well.
Gotcha.
Sometimes people are all about the nostalgia, and sometimes people taste tobacco, what it was like back then, and go, oh, that's gross. This one hits the mark. Yeah, a lot of people don't think about it, but when you were, you know, when you used to go to the local tobacconist and there weren't, like, national blends before, you know, that's the Sutliff's history here. Before Mixture 79 and Heinz really took off, there wasn't a national blend. There wasn't something you could just get.
It was all just local, right?
Yeah, every little tobacconist had their own blends, and you were stuck with what your tobacconist liked to make.
Yep.
And a lot of them were barely cased, if at all. There was no desire for consistency across batches, and that's a lot of what those blends did for the world. Was how can we make this taste the same from country to country, state to state, and even batch to batch?
Yeah.
So it was, you know, well, I got this little bit of flavor I can spray on it. It's what's available this week, so that's what mm-hmm. the tobacco tastes like this time.
Back when blending was actually blending, like shop blending.
Yeah, that as well, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Like nowadays, and this isn't a dig at anyone really, but I feel like nowadays it's just somebody is a blender if they just mix a bunch of bulks together mm-hmm. real quick.
Yeah.
It's not like really... they're mixing the tobaccos and then casing them all together yeah. and making a blend.
Right.
Something proprietary. They're just kind of.
Yeah. They're using other people's bulks.
Mm-hmm.
They might spray their own topping over it after that. But yeah, they're not creating a real blend that is made up of just component tobaccos and right. is consistent across the board. Or like the old days where you had to blend, you had to learn the art of blending because the only tobacco you had every week, every month, whatever, was what you could get.
Yeah.
So you'd take this tobacco and go, oh, you know, this isn't what I was hoping for. What can I do with it? What can I blend it with to create something that people are going to buy? Mm-hmm. But now we always have the same options available. So you don't have that necessity anymore.
You'd have to think like way back in the day, right? The whole idea of like casing something probably came to be because someone got a batch of crap tobacco.
That's part of it.
And they're like, well, how do we make this taste better? I'm going to spray some of my wife's perfume on it. Oh, it's wonderful. It's great.
Yep.
Cool. All right. Well, I'm onto something here. So then I'm just going to keep buying crappy dried out tobacco and make my own stuff. And mm-hmm. I think that's probably where it all started.
A lot of it.
It's like the spice in the sausage.
Yeah. Yeah.
You gotta cover up the
almost
rotten meat. Yeah. Yeah. You got to do that.
Yep, that was a big part of it. And then companies like Sutliff, as they developed and created a national reputation, mm-hmm. they went, oh, and we can use it to make this consistent
sure.
all the time.
Yep, and then that it evolved into that, I'm sure.
Yep, but I'm sure the origination was, what can I do? This tobacco sucks.
Yeah, right. Everyone hates this.
Yep. My customers, every time they buy it, they come back and say, that was garbage. I'm never buying from you again.
Yeah. And back in the day, I'm sure there was probably 10 times more tobacco shops
oh, yeah.
than there are now
oh, yeah.
in every area.
Yep.
Before people started crying that smoking was bad for you.
Yeah.
Back in the golden days where smoking was great for you.
The golden days like this tin.
Mm-hmm.
Golden.
Yep.
You know, reflect on that for a minute, man. It's crazy that Sutliff has been around for 175 years.
I know.
With, like you said, used to be tobacconists all over the mm-hmm. place. And somehow this one little tobacconist and pipe shop in California moved to Virginia and survived the entire time.
Yeah. Yeah. Sutliff has seen a lot of stuff.
Yeah. There was actually just a discussion on Facebook, and they were asking who the oldest tobacconist in the U.S. is. And it was really funny because, you know, the obvious ones come up that are, you know, pretty old. And you have places like Yulee's and my buddy John Brandt there.
LJ Preddy?
No.
I don't know all your buddies. You have a lot of buddies.
I know. It's the one tobacconist you never remember when I mention them.
Mm.
Started, it was owned by women in New York City and then went through the family for a long time before John Brandt took over. Wilkie's, thank you.
Okay.
I'm thinking me.
Yeah, gotcha.
for talking to myself in my head.
I'm glad to assist you.
Wilkie Tobacco. But I was like, guys, Sutliff is 175. And like, well, they're not a tobacconist anymore. I was like...
Get out.
I was like, technically, well, because you can't go in and buy anything. I'm like, well.
But you can.
You can now.
You can.
So I told everybody about their concierge service. And I'm like, you know, if we're gonna split hairs over this, mm-hmm. it's 175 years old. All you have to do is make an appointment and you can walk in there and buy Sutliff tobacco.
Yeah.
That's a tobacconist, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
So I don't know if they've been the longest continuously running because you couldn't always just walk into Sutliff, but.
Right. I think it'd be neat if they dressed all old timey when you did the concierge service.
Jeremy, you hear that?
I think that would be
a solid request for you to, you to dress as, could we get Jeremy to start cosplaying Henry Sutliff?
Oh, jeez.
You know, like you go visit Ben Franklin's house and
yeah,
do all those things. I would love it if just for like, I don't know, 1 month this year, every concierge appointment, Jeremy actually cosplayed Henry Sutliff.
Right.
They don't look dissimilar genetically.
And I don't agree.
Mr. Sutliff has a bit more weight on him in this picture. And that's being polite to a dead man. Yeah, he's a lot bigger than Jeremy. But I could almost see some facial features that line up.
I can't.
I am stretching really hard because I would kill to see Jeremy dress old-timey and try to talk like a like a man who was in California during the gold rush and moved to Virginia.
So I am currently looking up what the most popular song 175 years ago was. I don't know if there's an answer.
Probably not. Those kinds of records were not being made then.
Mm-hmm. It certainly wasn't the Rich Men North of Richmond, Google.
So this tobacco really does take me back to when I started smoking a pipe. I was pretty Latakia centric, I guess. It's really all I smoked. This one is a very pleasant throwback to the early days of me getting started.
Right. Well, since I can't find a song, let's say if I can find something else to talk about.
Coming up with content on the fly, guys. Trying like pros.
To. Oh, see. The internet has failed me because I almost clicked on something that said, oh, things that happened 175 years ago that you'll never guess, but the article is written in 2015. Coincidentally, the same year that Jeremy McKenna started at Sutliff.
What a nice coincidence.
But we're not going to read that. Oh, boy. Yeah. Nope, I got nothing. Someone said the Mexican-American War ended 175 years ago, and Mexico lost half its territory. That's not pleasant. Let's not talk about that.
No, it's a terrible. The nice thing is if we did find music from 1849, we wouldn't really get in trouble for playing it either.
No, right. There's a lot of things that are 175 years old. Oh, 175 years of Scientific American, but that was written in 2020. What is up with my Google machine?
I don't know.
I don't know how to Google anymore. Let's see.
There we go. Songs of the Pioneers. Apparently in 1849, Blue Juniata was really popular. Oh, my volume's down. You want to turn up the Bluetooth volume?
Sure.
I got just a little tune, maybe.
I mean, I don't hear it, but it's set to go. Okay, I like that.
Wild rose and Indian maid, bright Alpharetta, where sweet the waters of.
I just imagine Mr. Sutliff listening to this in his head because he couldn't afford a phonograph or whatever. Or there's just a group of street kids outside singing this song to him.
Yeah, I think he hired children to sing outside of the factory.
Yep. And it's like, I've been inspired by this banger.
This banger maybe inspired him to put this tobacco together.
Oh my god.
I hear the dulcet tones of Latakia. Little twang of Red Virginia. Oh, that That little squeak there. Yeah, it's Parikh. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, that guy in the background, though, he's really carrying it. It's like a nice burly in there. That's how this tobacco was developed.
Nice. I mean, I don't know if he made Old Boss.
He didn't.
That would be strange.
But his ancestors.
Yeah.
It was just the pretty face. Which is really great. I was reading the UPCA minutes before we send them out. And for all the things that Andre missed in the minutes, he made sure to get that I called myself a pretty face.
Oh, yeah. Andre sent me a message yesterday asking if I felt okay. It's like, no, I don't.
I mean, that's a loaded question.
I don't feel okay. All right. 1849, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's probably a bet. See? That's probably what I should have searched.
I'm here for you.
Okay. Oh, I'm sad that song is over. That was pretty good. Boy, as a bunch of governors were elected, who cares?
I mean, we can move into some more other music if you want.
Yeah, let's do it.
These appear to have been recorded in 1937.
But they were written in 1849?
Yeah, 1830 to 50.
Okay. So, Elizabeth Blackwell is awarded her MD by the Medical Institute of Geneva, New York, thus becoming the United States' first woman doctor.
Wow.
U.S. Congress passes the Gold Coinage Act, allowing the minting of gold coins. That didn't last very long. Thanks, J.P. Morgan and your buddies on Jekyll Island. Let's say, oh, the Mississippi River levee at Sauvé's Crevasse breaks, flooding much of New Orleans.
Oh, wow.
Fort Worth, Texas is founded, and that's funny because that's where American Airlines wants me to send my luggage to get fixed.
Is it really?
Yes. Pfizer was founded. What? Wow. Pfizer is founded by cousins Charles Pfizer and Charles F. Erhart in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, as a manufacturer of fine chemicals.
Fine chemicals. I miss those days.
1849 happened to be the year after the California Gold Rush started.
Yep. That's how it all began.
Ooh, people died then. Edgar Allan Poe died in 1849.
I bet you the solace are behind it.
Yeah.
I'm lying.
He did not live very long. He was only 40 when he died.
Yeah.
Probably for the best. He
lived a rough life.
What a sad sack of crap he was.
Yeah. Cousin Marrier.
Yeah. Well, R.I.P. Edgar Allan Poe, your dumb poems. Who even likes poems?
Oh.
You do?
Oh, yeah. I love poetry, man.
I can think of nothing, no bigger waste of time in life. Nothing more despicable than being a grown-ass man writing poems.
I don't write any anymore.
Oh, at least you're not a spiritual writer. Emma Curtis Hopkins died in 1849.
Oh, boy.
Oh, wait, what? No. That's when she was born. Never mind.
That doesn't sound right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know somewhere there's a herd of sad men getting ready to come lynch me for talking smack about poems. What a waste of time. Writing poems, just write a song. It's the same thing. A poem is a song, but lazy, because there's no music written with it.
I bet this is a banger, too.
I bet.
Nelly was a lady.
Wow.
Down on the Mississippi floating, long time I travel on the wing. All that the cottonwood a-toting, sang for my true love all the day. Nelly was a lady. Last night she died.
That got dark fast.
I like it.
So listen to this episode while you can, guys, before they take it down for us playing music we don't have rights to.
Right.
We only need it up until 6 p.m. I mean, it'll probably be sold out by 9 p.m., so...
That's fine.
As long as we get 3 hours out of this, we're good.
Yep. You make... I hope an army of zombies comes to sue us.
No, the organization in charge will just have our episode pulled. That is something we haven't done yet. Gotten taken down.
Yeah. Wow, February 28th, 1849, regular steamboat service from the west to the east coast of the United States began.
Yeah.
The arrival of the SS California in San Francisco Bay. The California leaves New York Harbor on October 6th. It took 4 months.
4 months on
They left
steamboat?
On October 6th of 1848. This is supposed to be a list of things that happened in 1849.
Well, if it took 4 months, you know, they got there in 1849.
It rounded the Cape Horn at the tip of South America and arrived in San Francisco, California after a 4 month, 21 day journey.
Man, I wish I didn't have to make pipes every day. I want to go on a 4 month tugboat, steamboat.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I kind of do.
Yeah, I'm not lying. I really would like that.
I bet it smelled really bad.
Yeah. Try you smoke this tobacco. It covers it all up.
Down in the meadow among the clover. Walk with my Nelly by my side.
This guy needs to shut up. With his belly aching.
I don't want to go on a cruise, but I definitely would go on a steamboat ride for 4 months. Everybody can be shut.
There was a lady. Ripping my clothes. Last night she died. Toll
the
bell for lovely
nail,
my dark Virginia bride.
Oh,
dark Virginia bride.
This dark Virginia bride died.
Yep.
Needs to get over it. All right, well, that was fun.
That was fun. I'm glad you mentioned music.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not too thrilled with the
what?
Corn laws were abolished in Britain.
Corn laws?
Mm-hmm. Oh, a new Roman Republic was established in Italy.
Wow. You don't think of republics being established while we're
right
digging for gold.
Nope.
Panning for gold.
Well, less than 100 years earlier, we made a republic.
Yeah.
That's what we're supposed to be.
Supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. What does this even mean? Roman Republic declared in Rome, replacing following flight of Pope Pius IX. He didn't go anywhere. He wasn't flying around anywhere. Did you know that President James Polk was the first president to have his photograph taken?
No, I had no idea.
Now you do. He was a very handsome gentleman.
I can't say as I remember. Yeah, you'll have to show me.
Try not to get too distracted by the how long does it take to get toned body with chair yoga according to my age advertisement that's next to it.
Oh, yeah. I do remember him now.
That looks like a man that runs things behind the curtain, right? come we don't wear ties like that anymore?
Because we are not cool enough.
I mean, we can be. If we wanted to be. There's all these pictures of these other people born in 1849, but the only woman listed is a drawing. Ew, there's gross Edgar Allan Poe's. Oh, man. He's creepy.
He is.
I bet you people threw rocks at him a lot. I would not do that. I don't throw rocks at people. Man, what is... Oh, great. Now all of my advertisements on Facebook are going to be about chair yoga. Chair yoga?
I don't even know what chair yoga is. Isn't that just stretching?
Yeah, I mean, it's like the scene in Flashdance.
Hot.
Where you just arch your back in a chair and you splash water on you. That's chair yoga.
I'm going to play that now.
Well, we can go down the street and ask...
Yogi Man.
That's the Yogi Man, the guy who never got a haircut and chain smoked cigarettes in front of an empty storefront that he calls a yoga studio.
That he calls fit to be tied yoga.
Oof. Rough.
Creepy old man sitting outside smoking. Yeah.
Yeah. He's the guy I want. That's my yogi right there.
What do you do here? You tie people up?
Yeah. He'll tell you what chair yoga is.
I bet. I'll be sure to ask him next time I'm walking by Chieftains.
I'll say, hey, young man, first one's free. Then we'll have never seen you again.
Mm-hmm. Accurate.
I like bonus episodes because I don't care.
Oh, I know. It is really nice. Mm-hmm. They start a little slow sometimes as we are like trying to be normal. And then we go, yeah. Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter what we say. We got the good bits out first. Bye. The Old Boss,
mm-hmm.
at 6 p.m. Once that's out of the way, it's pretty free rolling.
Yeah, 6 p.m. for sure. Buy it.
Yeah, I do not recommend waiting on this one.
I wouldn't. No, you could probably buy that at tobaccopipes.com.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend that.
And not that it really matters to you, but if all of you listening put in code Dribble15, you will not get 15% off tobacco, but you will get that off of pipes and accessories.
Yep. So throw in a pipe or an accessory with your tobacco and you can use your code.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for doing that. I had completely forgotten to keep mentioning our code. So.
I kind of have to now.
Yeah.
Now that I'm bought and paid for.
Yep. No, it's a really nice thing they did for us. It's just I had forgotten for a little while. We got wrapped up in all of the craziness that is.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to make a drawing of what you think Jake Midbird McKenna looks like, and email that to customerservice@tobaccopipes.com, I will give you my 15% discount, too. The code is also Dribble15.
Oh, man. That is too good.
That's why you pay me the big bucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you email a picture of what you think Midbird looks like, please make sure to forward a copy of it to Ush as well.
Yep. Whatever our email is.
Did you catch that?
Who knows? We have so many. I bet you between the two of us, we have 20 email addresses.
At least. I was stalling to remember if it was the Grey Woody Show or just Grey Woody Show. And it is, in fact, greywoodyshow@gmail.com.
Yep.
Man. Yeah, I have enough email addresses that every time I go to say an email address, I just pull it up to be safe and look at my list of email addresses.
Yep. I'm watching my cat crawl down the hill with something dead hanging out of its face.
Nice. I was watching, I believe, your neighbor's cat. Really nice Siamese out there.
Yeah. Oh, that's totally a rat.
Yeah, don't bring them back.
Well, it looks dead.
That's fine, but still, eat it up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is. Oh, no, it's not dead. He just lost it. My cat is worthless.
Yeah.
If ever should come the day that I actually put anything on the Uncanny Material website. Mm-hmm. If I ever add mystery box, don't buy it.
If you, like me, love mystery boxes, Uncanny is not.
Do not buy the Uncanny mystery box.
Yeah, I've seen enough mysteries just in your shop, not without
going outdoors. There is probably a very high chance that it will be a live cat. What a worthless jerk. I cannot believe he just dropped that thing and it took off and now he can't find it. He's pointless.
Great.
And he's playing in grass now. Like, oh. You should feel ashamed of yourself, Fred. Whatever.
I'd probably be dumb to not point out that there are, in fact, K-Woody pipes on GreyWoody.com right now. And they are going very quickly. So, yep. And I have not put it on social media just yet. It's only via email.
I would be dumb to not charge you for advertising that every episode. But yes, there are K-Woodies on GreyWoody.
Yes, there are. It was a pretty exciting reception when the email went out. I got a lot of emails and orders. So yeah, if you wanted one of the transitional new K-Woody pipes, I would recommend getting one now because that's all I have right now until I make a lot more.
And transitional things are all the rave right now. Mm-hmm. So you want to get in on that.
Well, it's been fun.
It has, and I feel like there's something else like important that I probably should have said.
Well, we can kill a minute here if you want to remember.
I don't know. I know this one's supposed to be for the old boss, but you should talk about Capital Land. Every chance we get.
Yeah, we brought it up once. Mm-hmm. You know, actually, to return to old boss, I am actually nearing the end of the bowl. And it is truly a beginning to end great experience.
It smells great. I have not wanted to throw up because of the smell of tobacco smoke once. Yep.
It is a very old school smelling and tasting tobacco. For somebody like me who tends to do Virginia Perique and things in that vein, it is a nice escape from it. It would not be my everyday smoke, but I think there are a lot of people out there who would be shocked at how much this could be.
This is one that you should be smoking while you're hanging out in your cigar pipe lounge, wearing your smoking jacket.
Yep.
With other fellows wearing smoking jackets and talking about the fineries of each other's smoking jackets. This is the tobacco you should be wearing while you do that.
Yeah, this is it. And if you're not pretentious, you can also enjoy it.
But you won't nearly as much without wearing a smoking jacket.
We don't sell those. None of our pseudo-sponsors sell those. I don't know where we're going with this, man.
I don't either.
Are you making smoking jackets now?
I am not.
I have a sewing machine and make some really nice stuff.
I also have a sewing machine. I want to make $1,000 smoking jackets.
There is an upcoming collaboration that we are not talking about at all, except to get you excited that there is an upcoming collaboration between us. And I'm thinking we should just shift gears and do a smoking jacket together.
Oh my God. Ain't no one got time for that.
Right. We would probably want to raise some money to do that one because it would be invaluable.
Yeah.
But sure. Yeah, spoiler alert, collaboration upcoming sooner than later, which is a great seg into Capital Land is June 8th this year. We've gotten some more vendors signed up. We've heard from a lot of attendees who want to come, and I've handled a few emails lately of people going, is this really free? And of course, the answer is always. It is always and will always be free. So yeah. I've had a lot of very enthusiastic emails with people who want to attend, discovering that it is, in fact, a free pipe show.
As long as I draw breath, the show will be free.
Yep.
Which, according to my doctor, is not very long after this episode. But since I don't believe in doctors, I'm going to live forever. And that means that Capital Land Pipe Show is free forever.
Yep.
And ever.
Unless you're vending. And even then, it is one of the...
Oh, free to attend.
Yes.
Not free to vend.
Yep. Free to attend. One of the lowest table fees. And I think we touched on it before, but we tend to get almost half of the attendees that Chicago does, which is insane for that being a giant international pipe show.
Yeah.
We have almost half of that at Capital Land, which means vendors do really well. So for your how much it costs for a table versus how much you can make from that many attendees, it's a really good deal.
Yeah. Our table fees are a really good deal.
Yeah.
Like, let's keep that going for as long as we can too.
Yep. Yeah. There's no reason until the venue decides to start raising prices because of our success, there's no reason for us to raise the table fees.
Yep.
That's where it stands. We currently basically break even as long as we sell most of our tables.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really care about doing much more than that. So, we both sell things, so we don't need to make a bunch of money. We just need to cover the costs of the show. So it's working great.
Yeah. If you want to support us, buy our stuff.
Yeah. Yep. Including tobacco. We'll have Frustica and things yet to be announced.
Yep.
And then as far as, again, it being a free show for attendees, we just picked up our beer sponsor, who will be Tin Bids, who is also sponsoring the coffee again this year. So Tin Bids wanted more, and it's hard to tell somebody no when they say, can we do more?
Right.
So they will be sponsoring 100 free beers for the first 100 customers. They each get one. And then we do some extras for all the vendors and volunteers to make sure everybody gets a nice drink.
Yep.
And then the coffee is free all day long. There is not a window of opportunity for coffee. When it runs out, they bring more.
They do, and they're pretty good at that. So
yeah. So thank you, Tin Bids, for that. Obviously, Sutliff, as always, is a huge sponsor. They help us get up and running. So they just sent their sponsorship. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Sutliff, for that.
Yep, and they'll be there. Tobacco Pipes will be there. Yep. Missouri Meerschaum is coming. We have Ed Lee's. They're a staple.
They're a stalwart for us.
Park Lane will be there.
Yep.
Uncanny, Grey Woody.
Lacra, whatever.
Lacrosse soccer tobacco, whatever Eric named his tobacco thing. He'll be there.
Yeah. Eric Kerplowski will be not in the back corner because he didn't actually underpay us this time. So you can find his tobacco a little easier this year.
Yep.
Which, you know, as much as we make fun of him, he had some really cool blends last year.
He is making some waves with Carpathian Bear Rider, which we have yet to try. Mm-hmm. And that's probably why it's successful. Because we have not shot it down and tore it apart yet.
Because I think all of his customers, he has convinced to listen to our show. So pretty much anybody who would take his tobacco also listens to this. So yeah, maybe we should be nice.
Yeah. Let's do that.
And wait until after Capital Land to try it.
Yep. We got some pretty awesome slow smoke trophies coming.
Yep. There are more vendors than that too.
Not so awesome fast smoke trophy, maybe.
Well, the point of the fast smoke trophy is that it's awesome for not being awesome.
Yeah.
But the slow smoke trophies are going to be, in my opinion, the best slow smoke trophies to have ever existed. For once, you know, the closest we've come before is pipe rests in Chicago.
Yeah.
A trophy with a pipe rest was cool. These are the most relevant trophies ever.
It would be our society would have me say second annual, but it's actually our first annual, general equivalency diploma of pipes, GED of pipes, award ceremony. The person that we are honoring this year has already been chosen. And that's going to be at the end of the show because it's a roast.
Yep.
Which is what it was supposed to be last year, but someone was too thin-skinned for it.
I mean, we assumed.
I assume a lot.
And this year, if their skin is too thin, we're going to have to deal with it because we've gone forward with the plans.
Yep. So, yeah, it's going to be a good fun time. Saturday.
We did mention the roast before. And we had a listener question about said it's a roast, but don't be mean. And we got weird for a minute. And so the same, I can give the same clarification here that I gave there. It's not intended to be actually inflaming and hurtful.
Mm-hmm.
Mean is okay if mean is funny and is not very personal and very hurtful.
I would really just settle on not vulgar.
Yeah, yeah. When we said don't be mean, we were going with not vulgar, not like actually painful.
Yeah. I mean, when we said don't be mean, you should have said challenge accepted.
Mm-hmm.
True. And just don't be vulgar, because there's a good chance there's still going to be some kids bopping around. And
mm-hmm. and maybe make it about the person and not those around them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There. That's some clarification.
And then after that, the show will be over. Then you all should leave. And then I'm going to go home.
Yeah, our tradition has been the bartender does keep track of those free beers. We usually do a coaster that gets stamped, but it still is not always an accurate count. So he keeps a count too. And so if there are any left, we tend to put those out for anybody who lingers while we clean up. And in this case, we're really doing the roast at the end of the show, like at the close of the show, so that kids can leave.
Yeah.
And parents can make those decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can linger a little while. We'll probably put those out for the roast this year because that makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
So you do get a chance to maybe get an extra free beer.
Maybe.
Because a lot of people appreciate the idea, but never cash them in.
Right. I don't understand that.
They want to support.
Yeah, but they could cash it in for water.
Yeah.
They don't have to get a beer.
Yeah, I was going to say we should make that clear, but Teddy usually does. He says, whatever, mm-hmm. it's the equivalent of this. If you get a cocktail or something like that, he'll just discount it that much.
Yep. It may be the most single, the single most important bit of news. Oh, my son is home. That just scared me. Anyway, we'll get back to that on a regular episode.
Yep.
Jack, come here. Tell everyone goodbye.
Goodbye.